Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Have you ever heard about the days of Elijah? I mean, you think about it. The Lord says that the spirit of Elijah would come before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes, and that he would turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers. It's so significant that when John the Baptist spoke about Jesus, that he came in the spirit of Elijah and he began to turn our hearts back to God. But you think about the days of Elijah. Have you ever heard the song, The Days of Elijah? Have you ever read the scriptures where he talks about the problems becoming as flesh? I mean, it's like we're in the days of Elijah. What's really exciting is to watch these United States Marine Corps gathered up and begin to worship God and declaring these are the days of Elijah. Take a look at this.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. I know these are days of great trial, of famine and darkness and sore.
The days of Elijah. You know, what does that mean? And this song that you saw, was it not awesome watching these Marines declare the glory of God and the coming of the Lord? And but problems becoming as flesh. If somebody says, you know, these Marines don't have a right to sing that, sing these words, it's like they're the ones that are going to stand up against these problems that become as flesh. That's what happens when these things begin to manifest in these last days. But in addition to what happens too is that the church arises, the dry bones that spoke about begin to come together and God begins to breathe on them. These are exciting days. It's going to be the best of times and the worst of times. It's amazing how that's coming to pass. Some of the things I wanted to be able to just say today in regards to some of the prophetic things that God is revealing to me, you know, one thing that he's shown me is that America has been infiltrated. It's been infiltrated by people who don't have our values, people who don't have the vision of America. They don't have America in their heart. When you think about America, quite often we don't even hear about them. When you hear about the oath of office to become a citizen of America, do you know very specifically it requires people to say, you know, I want to have America in my heart. I want to stand for America. I'm going to renounce. As a matter of fact, take a look at this. When you become a citizen of the United States of America, you have to swear an oath, just like our leaders have to swear an oath, whether they're going to defend the Constitution from enemies foreign and domestic. When you become a citizen, you actually have an oath of office. Here, I want to read this to you. You can see it right here on your screen. You have to hold your hand up and you have to swear this. He says, I hereby declare on oath that I absolutely and entirely renounce, which means abandon, and adjure, which means reject, all allegiance and fidelity to the foreign princes, potentates, states, sovereignty of whom which I have heretofore been, in other words, where I came from, as a subject or a citizen, and I will support and defend the Constitution and the laws of the United States of America from all enemies, foreign and domestic, and that I will bear fruit in true allegiance to the same. And it goes on and it ends with, so help me God. I mean, you think about that. I mean, what is this? What happened? We have, you know, God has shown me that we've been infiltrated by people. It doesn't matter where they come from or even from within, because it says you protect the U.S. defend the Constitution from enemies foreign and domestic, which means there's people in the country that are against America and against the Constitution and what it stands for, and there's people outside the country. And when they swear an oath to be able to become a citizen, they're saying, listen, I align myself with the United States and the United States Constitution, and I swear an allegiance to it. And I renounce everything that I previously stood for, the previous nation that I came from, I don't care if it's led by a king, a prince, some potentate, or a caliphate, or whatever it is. Just they renounce all that form of leadership, of political governmental leadership. And they say that I'm going to now have an allegiance to the leadership of the United States Constitution and which it stands for. And it's like, and so the Lord has shown me that the people that don't have a heart for America, the original 10 of our founding fathers, and you don't have a country without that. You got to begin to start thinking, you know what? We have to begin to say, you know, what does the Constitution say? What does the Declaration of Independence say? Why did we declare an independence from a king? And begin to read these things and know these things. And did we even know that this is the oath? There's a citizenship test you got to pass to be able to become a citizen. The question is, can we even pass that test? Do we know these things about our own country? And before we can start talking about, you know, the infiltration of our nation, we've got to begin to say, you know what? You know, put the nation aside for a moment, that there's been an infiltration of the church. You know, people who don't have God's word in their heart, who might not even have God in their heart. And they're actually beginning to say, you know what? Like the people say about the Constitution, they say, that doesn't really mean that. And you know what they're saying about the word of God? People are saying, oh, the word of God doesn't mean that. And the allegiance to God's word is not there for a lot of folks that are coming in the church. So we've got to begin to say, you know what? I want to be loyal to God. You know, I want to begin to find out what God says. I'm going to begin to abide with the Lord. You know what I'm saying? And then that is a byproduct of that, I believe, is going to be we're going to have a country. But we're not going to have a country without God. God is the one that decides where our nation is lifted up or is brought down today. And I want to encourage you as we begin to go, you know, what is the days of Elijah? Because we're going to see a great increase in turmoil coming to the world and coming to America. The world looks to America as a Christian nation, and we have to find ourselves in this and return back to the original intent, because they say if America goes dark, if it just gives itself over, then the world's going to be in gross darkness. But you know what? Think about this. There was no country. There was no nation. But a few of 56, you know, so odd men came and they just said, you know what? We're going to sign this Declaration of Independence. We're going to think it out, pray it out, write it out. We're going to believe that all of our rights come from God. And they begin to believe and get a vision for freedom under God. And because they this dream team for what would become the United States of America, they believed and they're willing to lay down that their life, their fortunes, and their sacred honor, you know, for what they believed in. And many of soldiers have done this, and many people have done this over the years. That's why we have freedom today. But the question is, in our generation, will we be willing to lay down whatever it takes so the next generation can have God in their life and have a country like America?
I mean, these are the days of Elijah. And one thing, you know, to be encouraged about is the best of times. That it takes a tilling of the soil to produce a garden. It takes a weeding.
Imagine that. Yeah. It sure does, doesn't it?
And so many of us don't have gardens because of what it's going to require to be able to do that and have a time to do it. But also the fact is that imagine now being the soil. I mean, we think about laboring over the soil to weed it and till it and that type of thing. Now imagine, I mean, it's a greater commitment if you're the soil and the tiller is going to come and till you up, right?
Well, you have to produce, you know.
Yeah, right. And so, you know, one thing that you know, John Paul Jackson, you know, spoke about, and we'll have it in our next program. You got to be a part of that next program coming up. And also Pastor John Kilpatrick, Church of His Presence, talking about how the ground, the earth responds to sin, but also responds to humility and repentance. There's always the other side to that. It's not all over. If it was all over, think about this. God would just...
It would have been all over a long time ago.
We would just stop breathing right now.
Yeah.
But God's wanting us obviously to repent if these things are happening. But the when you think about infiltration, you know, Paul talked about that. You know, Paul said, "Listen, I warned you day and night," talking to the church. He said you would be infiltrated. He said, "I never stopped warning you." With tears, that you're going to be, you know, wolves were going to come in amongst you to destroy you, even from your own number. So it's not unusual to be infiltrated. The devil and his children always want to infiltrate things. It's amazing. It's like, how I know that someone's a child of the devil is like, don't you have something else to do? I mean, why do you, what? But think of all the things you could be doing right now in all your darkness. Why in the world do you want to come near the light? It's because they're held captive by the adversary, Lucifer, to do his will. That's what Paul tells Timothy. He says, gently instruct them in hopes that God would grant them repentance. And so they don't really realize, you know, what they're doing quite often. And but the enemy is using some sort of thing in their heart, and they're thinking it's that, but it's just deception. But the infiltration, so infiltration is not some, you know, some radical...
new concept.
What is the word they always talk about? Conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
It's the very fact, if you just walk around and ask anybody, you know, what does the Constitution say? You know, give them the United States citizenship test. Ask them, is there an oath of office for presidents and Congress and for citizens to be able to become a citizen? Is there an oath of office for, you know, a military? And you'll find out we've been infiltrated by the idea that you can have America without any loyalty to America. You know, you can have this idea of freedom without God, that you can have a nation without God. And so many people, John, they just look across the sea and they say, well, that nation is ungodly and they're functioning.
Right.
Well, Sodom and Gomorrah functioned for a little while. But there came a time that their cup was full. But when you have a covenant, when God allows a country to arise because they make a covenant with God, it's not that they're any better. It's the fact now they're going to be held to high accountability to God, because God's going to hold us to that covenant. And we're going to be like Israel. You know, God had made a covenant with Israel, and Israel has gone through huge turmoil because of that covenant. And it's like, you're going to be a nation. I'm going to bless you, and you are going to repent. I mean, read about it. And that's what it's more like. And so our founding fathers realized that, you know, you cannot have a country of freedom without having a moral compass, without having laws. And a person doesn't obey the law unless they're aware of God. It's the awareness of God that in your heart that you know that there's consequences outside of a man catching you, consequences outside of some police officer or some, you know, whatever horizontal authority getting you. It's the fact of being conscious of God. But the second you lose the consciousness of God, freedom doesn't work. I mean, you have to have a tyrannical leader. I mean, look how many times that God put Israel up under a tyrannical leader because they just wouldn't live under the freedom. They chose to use their freedom to serve other gods and to reject God and to leave his ways. Yeah. And he told very specifically to, you know, Jehoshaphat's grandson when he was king or his son, he said, because you've abandoned me, I'm going to abandon you. Because you've abandoned me, I'm going to abandon you. He's the same God. He hasn't changed. We still can hurt his heart. We still can reject him and suffer those consequences of that. And so infiltration, I'm talking about, it could be somebody who's been third generation right here in America. It's not somebody I think some of the most loyal people to America, maybe the ones that just came recently and swore their citizenship. And I just saw some being interviewed the other day. And they said, I'm just so excited that I get to vote and I get to prosper. I'm thinking, wow, that'd be really great if all of America have rights, right? And so it's not how long we've been in this country. It's how loyal are we to this Constitution. And somebody says, well, you know, why the Constitution? Because it's all the Constitution. If you think about this, think about a fish aquarium. And you have a glass fish aquarium, and you have all these pretty fish in there, and you have different kind of, you know, sucker fishes and octopus and all these different little things going. It's just all amazing, right? Just this fancy stuff and little caves they can swim into. And then imagine if somebody takes that glass and they just take a hammer and they just break the glass. I mean, is that water going to stay where it was?
No.
What if you just want it to stay? What if you really want this water to stay? Are the fish going to still be able to swim in the same consistency of the water? It's almost like the aquarium glass is holding everything together.
Right.
That's the Constitution. They're poking holes in the Constitution and we're leaking. The Constitution, it's amazing that one of the ships they talk about in the history of America is the U.S. Constitution, USS Constitution. It's what's holding us together. And they're just poking a hole in it, poking a hole in it, poking a hole in it, poking a hole in it. And it's like it's going to sink. If you just blow it out of the water, which would be the ultimate thing that the adversary would love to do, who's not loyal to America, loyal to the Constitution, then the fish go everywhere. If you bust that glass and it's in your den, those fish are going to die. There's nothing for them to live in or to consist in. You know, new borders would have to happen and new ideas on how to build the Constitution will be done away with. God has allowed this Constitution to stand. And do we even know it? Do we even know about the Bill of Rights? Do we even know about why the 24 reasons, I guess, for the Declaration?
27
reasons for the Declaration of Independence. It's not, you know, Franklin flying a kite. It is not George Washington chopping down a cherry tree. And it is not taxation without representation. They've focused on these, trying to change people's thoughts. George Washington didn't chop down a cherry tree. He took down the British armies.
Yeah.
It was powerful what he did. And so we got to go back and say, you know, God, do we want this country? Do we want this freedom? It doesn't start with, you know, memorizing the Constitution. It starts with getting back into the Word of God. The kingdom of God came first, and then America was a byproduct of that. You had men and women. And if you missed this movie, what is the movie of...
Monumental.
Oh, my goodness. That's and it great. Tracks the pilgrims and what happened with them and why it happened. And they were just trying to find a place to go to be able to worship God freely without losing your head, being hung and being, you know, all those different things that happened. And so they ended up coming to America. And other people came to America. But these notice that the pilgrims' vision is what ended up in the Constitution. It's what ended up in the Declaration of Independence. It is what people are trying to undo today with the First Amendment. They wanted to worship God freely without government interfering with that. And so at this particular point, you think about it, then we got to get back to what God said. You know, what did God say? And you know, thinking in the context, comparing that with America, can I be an American citizen without even caring about or knowing what the Constitution says? You know, if you do that, it's only because someone else took the time to know and to learn it. When you hear things like on C-SPAN, you hear, according to Article 4 of, you know, this or that, they're talking about the U.S. Constitution. There is an article in the Constitution that says we can have a president, says how long he can serve. There's an article in the Constitution that says we can have a vice president, how long they would serve. There's an article in the Constitution that says these different things specifically, and that's where it comes from. So to undo that is to totally undo all of Washington, D.C. It could switch from this representative government, this republic, this democracy, this republic, to a tyranny overnight, going back to the place of a king.
Wow.
But we have to be mindful of that, and you have to be good stewards of that. Well, the same thing with the church. I mean, the church has gone astray. This is what George Barna wrote in one of his books. He said people are leaving the church to be able to maintain their intimacy and relationship with God.
Amazing.
Who ever thought you had to actually leave what was called the church to be able to maintain it? Because the people that those particular unique individuals were with, they were going the way of the world. They realized, my goodness, I have to keep my relationship with God.
Yeah. I mean, how many times have you seen, and I understand that I see a lot of times people were protesting the Ten Commandments coming out of a state building or around in a city or a downtown, but we've taken the Ten Commandments out of our hearts. I mean, we're not even reading the Word of God. Is it more important to have a monument out in the public square than to have the Word of God, you know, in our hearts day and night, as Joshua tells us?
If people are fighting over Ten Commandments that if you ask them to quote them, they couldn't tell you what they were, which that's a form of godliness when we're denying the power thereof. Mm. So it's not as important to, if we have them in our heart, they'll be on our wall.
Yeah.
But if we have them on their wall, it doesn't mean they're on our heart.
That's right.
I always say, you know, you can have a fish on your sign for your business, but it doesn't mean you have a fish in your heart. And you can know that by how the person does business with you. So you think about this. This is so important. It's an oath of citizenship when it says very specifically, and I think we all should take it.
Yes.
It says, when you become a citizen of America, I hereby declare on oath that I absolutely and entirely renounce, which means abandon, John.
That's right.
Which means abandon. And adjure, which means reject, all allegiance and fidelity to any foreign prince, potentate, state, or sovereignty of which I theretofore have been subject to as a citizen. In other words, I left my citizenship of that nation.
Right.
That's called repentance. You're repenting from the previous nation, and you're saying my loyalty now is to a new nation.
I'm pledging my allegiance.
My allegiance.
My loyalty.
And in, like we were saying earlier, you cannot have
two masters. You can't be a part of
both.
Well,
you think about it. You're not going to have a nation if it's like that. You're just not going to have a nation if it's like that. And so, but it's the same thing with God. We're talking about the church. You can't have a nation without the church. And so when you look at it, the actual church, you're thinking, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
People think you're crazy if you're saying, you got to swear an allegiance to Jesus. John, get this. You're going to be shocked. You know, I was looking at wanting to support this particular ministry that was doing some great things for some people in need. And a lot of people are doing great things. I mean, the government's doing some things, great things. But I just asked a simple question. This is the question I asked.
And this is a simple question.
Well, this is somebody who says they're doing this ministry for Jesus, right?
In the name of Jesus, right?
For in the name God. Of Jesus. Okay. They call it a ministry and all that kind of stuff. And I said, is your allegiance to Jesus? That's all I said. And I'm thinking, you know, my response is like, yes, that would be my, yes.
Yeah.
Wow, yes.
Yes,
yes,
of course, yes.
They were so offended. They were just so offended that I would even ask that question.
Wow.
And it's just like, we should never be, somebody says, do you have an allegiance to America and you're an American and you act offended that somebody would ask you that?
Right.
You know, a citizen would go, wow, that's great.
Yeah.
But when we repent, when we make Jesus Christ the Lord of our life, what we're saying is we were under another king. We were under a king whose name was Lucifer.
Mm.
And we were serving in his kingdom. And we did whatever he, you know, captively did, told us to do.
That's right.
But the day that we make Jesus Christ the Lord of our life, we're entering into a new kingdom, the kingdom of God. It's not a matter of a relocation. It's a matter of a revelation. We're entering into a new place that he is my king. He is my Lord. And just like you can't have a country without making an allegiance to that country, you cannot, that kingdom, you cannot be with God unless you make an allegiance to God. Mm. That's not a weird thing. It's not a strange thing. If you're trying to actually serve two kingdoms, it's not going to work. You're divided between the two. You got to make up your mind. You know, and it's not wrong for Americans to say, I expect you as an American citizen to be loyal to the Constitution. It's not wrong for you to look at senators square in their eye and say, why haven't you called me back? You're representing me, right? It's
That's okay
for you to say, you know, Mr. President, you know, we expect you to be loyal to the Constitution. You swore an oath to defend and to protect America and defend the Constitution from enemies foreign and domestic. It's okay if that's not being done. Mm-hmm. It's not wrong. You know, a president would love to say, yeah, I am. This is how I'm doing it. And it's not wrong for us or our military soldier who went out and defended us to ask us, you know, and challenge our allegiance. Are we allegiant? Do we have an allegiance to the country? Well, it's not wrong as Christians. I don't care what, because, it's, you know, God's organizational chart is a flat pancake chart. Right. We're all held accountable directly to him. It's not under some potentate or nothing like that. And he's going to ask the question, you know, were you loyal? Did you have an allegiance to my son? Did you have an allegiance to Jesus? Making him the Lord of your life means it's kind of hard for us, America, to think like this because we're not coming from kings this generation. But it means this, you know, a king could say, off with your head, and it's off. I mean, that was just, everybody, well, they lost their head. It wasn't like, can you believe what he did?
Right.
He was the king. You maintain your composure so you can maintain your head. Well, Jesus is a loving king, but he's king. He's a righteous king. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so what we got to do in these days of Elijah, when the problems are becoming his flesh and God is shaking the earth to teach it righteousness, and these things are happening and our hearts being plowed up and being tilled, our hard hearts, the soil of our hearts being tilled, so a harvest would be produced, we have to understand it's only a miserable thing if we don't have an allegiance to our king. I mean, Paris Island, where the Marines go to boot camp, makes no sense if there's not a nation that they're fighting for.
That's right.
It's masochistic to go through all this religious fervor and pain without any allegiance to the king. Can you imagine going through boot camp as a soldier, and then you come out of that, there is no constitution, there is no aquarium holding the fish in, and they say, you know, well, that was something.
What's the point?
It was all religious works.
Yeah.
It wasn't. And so how can we, we can complain about the nation, we can complain about the world, but the truth is, where are we personally with God? You know, religion is just works. It's trying to find your way to God instead of God finding his way to you, you accepting what he's done. And then in a relationship with the king, in a relationship with the Lord, you walk out your life together. It's a wonderful thing. It's so powerful that all the demons of hell and his children are trying to stop people from having this intimate relationship with this awesome God who gave his son to be able to save us and bring us into relationship with him. But if you don't have an allegiance, I mean, how many people are just their relationship? They got like a disclaimer for every relationship. Hmm. I'm with you as long as. I'll be married to you as long as. You know, despite the fallout, what happens to the children, despite the fallout, what happens to society,
that's right.
You know, everything's just conditional. I got a new vision. It's like, are you leaving us like the last pastor? You know what I'm saying? And you were wondering why, you know, there's some allegiance that begins to happen to the body of Christ, to fellow believers, and to the Lord. And you think about that, can we really complain about the infiltration of our nation when we're not dealing with the infiltration of the church? Even in our own hearts. We have to deal with that. And the reason why, and we'll talk more about this in our next program, the reason why our nation is being infiltrated is because we have allowed the church to be infiltrated with philosophies of men and all the horizontal. False doctrines and doctrines of demons is what he talks about. But Paul writes to Timothy about it. Things that itch your ear, that make you feel good, that keeps you from feeling bad. You know, a whole other God, another Jesus is being preached in so many different places. And that means his name is the same, but if you describe him, it's a totally different Jesus.
That's right. It's not his message.
It's not his message. And so the infiltration of America will stop the moment the church decides to deal with our own infiltration. And it's like, it's not pointing at people. It's like, wait a minute, I've let darkness infiltrate me.
It always starts here, doesn't it? I mean, it starts in one's own heart.
Jerusalem.
I mean, how many times are we so tempted, and we see this on a larger scale, many people pointing to Washington, D.C. as if Washington, D.C. was the issue.
530 people, maybe.
There's 330 million Americans, and that's for the church.
It's, let them go there?
If it's my people who are called by his name.
Yes.
So the onus of responsibility is on us.
Yes. And God is so kind. I mean, he's saying, if you'll just do this, I will, the infiltration of your nation, I will purge your nation if you'll purge your heart. It's basically what he's saying. If you will purge the church, and it's not about religion and some building and some organization, although you may have to let that thing, that person go if it's...
Isn't it amazing every time we read in the Old Testament, every single time that Israel would turn their backs against God, what would happen? Another army, another attack, and it would constantly be losing these battles, but always started with what was their allegiance towards God.
Right.
As long as they served God or were faithful to him, everything was okay and peace was on the borders.
Right.
But when they turned,
that's what happens. It literally, he lets them come in and infiltrate. It's one of the things God does, that if we turn away from him, he'll let the enemy, people that are enemy of us and enemies of God, come in and cause difficult times for us, or he'll turn us over to them. That's another level. Mm. He'll turn us over to our neighboring nations, or he will totally scatter us. And because what we were doing was evil. I mean, there was a day he destroyed the whole earth because of that. Mm. And it's a type of redemption where he's getting us to a point where we can be redeemed. I think about this. I think about, so the Lord, showed me very specifically, we're being infiltrated, the nation itself. And but people are not loyal to the word of God and the Constitution and they don't have the Constitution in their heart. They don't have it in their head.
Hmm.
And in D.C. just think it is optional. And since we don't know how significant the aquarium is, we don't realize we're about to be spilled out over the face of the earth. Only God is holding the walls of that aquarium.
The question
up.
Is, how close are we?
I mean, yes.
Do you hear the sound of the glass crackling?
Right. And so, the Lord, in the midst of all this, the Lord spoke specifically to me, John, and it's very encouraging. I mean, he said, and it has to do with the way the legal things are happening, really. There's unjust things happening. He said that the seat, this is what the Lord, and I just want to speak this out because mm-hmm. the Lord gave me. He said, the seat of the righteous will rise, and the seat of evil will fall. I mean, think about that. He said, the seat of the righteous will rise, and the seed of the evil will fall. It was very specific. And so just claim that. Begin to declare that yourself. And understand that happens probably at the most evil times of all. Because men finally go, I'm done with this evil. I want righteous leadership. And it says when the righteous rule, the people rejoice.
That's right.
But when evil rules, the people groan and mourn. And so, cheaper than medication to fix your mourning is repentance.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And so the Lord, even though these difficult times are here and upon us, and these are the days of Elijah, the problems are becoming his flesh, which means this, when you think about, you see a war taking place, you see evil taking place, you see hateful things taking place. Those are physical people doing physical things, but it's a spiritual thing that manifested on a flesh thing. So the problems in second heaven, you wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness and evil and principalities and all that. Now, all of a sudden, it begins to manifest in a fleshly way on the earth. And it seems to be, great turmoil. And it is great turmoil. And it's going to increase, by the way. But we got to quit trying to hold on to the American dream and hold on to Jesus's dream and the Father's dream, because he has a new nation. And God may very well let us keep America if we understand he's the one that gave us America. So it's not about, it's holding on to God and what God said, and understand this day, that the Lord, it's going to get darker, but as it says, thick darkness covers the people, gross darkness covers the land. He says, but you are the children of the light. The kings are going to come to your light. So we keep on trying to say, hey, I don't want this thing to happen. It's like, this is the moment in time for you to shine. You might not be able to hang on like the rich young ruler wanted to hang on to all the stuff and things, but let that stuff go for God. He held on to his stuff and things rather than holding on to God. God still loved him, but he walked away from God. The question is, are you ready to stand for God? And we get back, we want to hear, from our founding fathers, when they signed that the U.S. Constitution, and they swore or pledged an oath for their life, their fortunes, and their sacred honor, and hear what happened to them. We have for you on the VFN Torch, Paul Harvey's talking about what happened to each of the ones that signed the Constitution, because what they did was they made an oath. They pledged to each other their life, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. And you think, well, that's huge. Well, you know what? That's exactly what God expected of us the moment we said, Jesus, we want to make you the Lord of our life.
That's what Lord means.
But this is what happened when Jesus basically said that, when he said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can have no part of me. And he says, the words I'm speaking to you are spiritual. They're not, the flesh counts for nothing. And they said, this is a hard teaching. And they walked away.
Unless you pick up my cross,
your cross,
cannot be my disciple.
And deny yourself.
Yes.
And so self-sacrifice is a requirement to be able to walk with the Lord, but also to be able to have a nation. And you think about your life, your fortune, and your sacred honor. John, according to some statistics, 97% of regular church attenders, people that go at least every 2 weeks, they don't even give God his tithes.
Wow.
And offerings. 97%. And at the same time, we're like, people's complaining about high taxation is like,
wow.
That will change. You know, and specifically, you know, the Lord spoke some words, you know, to us. Slavery is a matter of taxation rate, the percentage that you're being taxed. For example, if you're 100% taxed, you're a slave. In other words, you work, you give me all your money, and I'll spend it how I want to spend it for you. That's a slave.
Yep.
Okay. So when people are talking about raising taxes, and I've talked to one particular man from Denmark, has very high taxes, and he says, yeah, we pay about 60% in taxes now, but I don't care if they raise it more.
Wow.
He hadn't worked like in 2 years. He hadn't done anything. He's not even paying taxes. And it's like, he didn't realize that you're talking about slavery. And one of the things the Lord has shown us is that, you know, if we don't deal with our issues in the church, if we don't repent, then you're looking under huge tax rates. I mean, huge, which means, you know, slavery. You know, somebody says, well, we're only at 80% tax. Well, you're 80% a slave.
Wow.
Don't pay that 80% and you'll find out what happens.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
See
what
how
happens.
Free you are. Yeah. Yeah.
And the IRS, the tax people right now are collecting the health care. So now your surgery's tied into your 1044.
Wow. Reportedly, it's 70, tax code, the IRS tax code is 70,000 pages. Yeah. 70,000.
Yeah. And so, I mean, do we want to go that way or do we want to go God's way? You know, God's way is freedom, but it's freedom up under Him to follow Him and His laws. And so when they signed that pledge, life with their lives, they pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. It cost them their lives, their fortune, and the sacred honor. I mean, they were wealthy people. They were not poor people. There was like 56, I believe, of them. John Hancock and all the ones that signed. And over time, you know, they just lost things. Their wives were murdered. Their family was murdered. Their towns were burned down. And over again, they declared, you know, it's worth freedom. It's worth where we're going. We cannot be under tyranny. Mm. So it cost them that. But, you know, it cost Jesus his life. It cost all the disciples. If you look how their lives ended, you know, the book of Revelation is awesome, but it was written on the Isle of Patmos when he was rejected by everybody and put out in a place to die. You know, Peter was crucified upside down. I believe James was shoved off a wall and hit with a laundry stick until he had died. These apostles, I mean, it was horrific cost, but the cost has never changed. Read Hebrews chapter 11, the hall of faith, that they were sawed in two, boiled in oil, burned at a stake, and the enemy just comes in. It's going to come with a cost. And so we have to pledge our lives to God. God, I'm loyal to you. I have an allegiance to you. And in my fortune, understand he's the one that gives us the ability to have increase. So when we honor him with his tithes and offerings, we're saying, you are Jehovah Jireh, you're my provider. And therefore, now our heart is right in the area of our fortunes. And finally, our honor. You know, Jesus made himself of no reputation, and he's the Son of God. We have to be willing to say, you know what? I'll make myself of no reputation. And believe me, there's a lot of people lined up to be able to make sure that you don't have one. But it doesn't really matter much. These are truly the days of Elijah, where the problems are becoming as flesh. And I just want to pray for you right now. I just want to say, Lord, I pray for each and every one that's listening and watching, Father God, that they would be encouraged in these days, the days of Elijah, that the problems are becoming as flesh. But you are the light. You shine upon us. Your glory, the hope of all is Christ in us, the hope of glory, Father God, that the children of light would arise in this day. And kings are going to come to your light in Jesus' name. Let's let these Marines just encourage us as they declare that these truly are the days of Elijah and our Lord is soon to return. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Dated Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.